Welcome to Jaguars Postgame. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Jaguars great Fred Taylor break down today's game. You'll also hear from head coach Gus Bradley, as well as Jaguars highlights. Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by Geico, Farrah & Farrah, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, and by EverBank. Jaguars Postgame starts right now.
Welcome in. Final score in Week 13, the Broncos 20 and the Jaguars 10. Broncos now 8-4. The Jaguars fall to a record of 2-10 on the season. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor will be in shortly. We'll have the first word with head coach Gus Bradley as well. Jeff Loggeman standing by outside of the Jaguars locker room. Bad day for the Jags offense overall. The defense for the better part of this game kept them in it. Only allowed really 13 real points in this game. After the final fumble, the field goal set it up there. But in theory, 10 points. Turnovers, two interceptions, one back to the house, the fumble at the end. There's your ball game.
Yeah, the defense was outstanding today, with the exception they hurt themselves when Telvin Smith got called for roughing the passer on the Broncos' touchdown drive in the first half. And, you know, then you had a 15-yard penalty later on that helped them tack on that field goal. But really, you're right, JP, probably 10 points is what they realistically allowed today. How many times did they get the Broncos off the field on third down, time after time, to the point where we all agreed that was the right play to punt the ball away with so little time left in the game, because you just felt like, once again, you're going to get a three and out of the Denver Bronco offense. But unfortunately, another pick six for Blake Bortles, and then a fumble in the pocket. The ball got knocked right out of his hand, and you know, a couple of critical mistakes. It's a game that's that close. Now, look, Paxton Lynch did not have a good game. Even when he had time to throw, he was off target today, so he helped them out a little bit. But this is a game that was, once again, there for the Jaguars to win, even shorthanded, and they couldn't take advantage of it.
We'll get to the full EverBank stats check coming up a little later, but here's a preview. Denver had 206 total net yards in the game, and they were 1 of 13 on third down. I don't know many teams that win with stats like that, even in a grinded-out game like this.
What was it? Was it KC who had the 1 for 14,
third
down?
There you go. And that's,
so,
again,
2 for 27.
I can't think of many,
and
but that's one.
And you come away with 2 wins, right? I mean, right, you're right, though. They're so infrequent, and it's happened twice now to the Jags in about a month and a half. It's absolutely crazy.
So the Jags fall to 2-10. They're eliminated. That's 7 consecutive losses now for this Jaguars football team. And a tough way to do it today. The 11th pick six in the career of Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles. The other interception in the game, you know, tip ball, and you know that's one that's just an unfortunate situation. The pick six is a ball you can't throw.
Yeah, the pick six was a terrible throw. But I will say this: Blake didn't get helped out on the Allen Robinson did juggle that ball up in the air, and he also had a couple of key drops. Brian Walters had one on third down that would have moved the sticks. There were, you know, a couple of instances where the receiver's not helping him out. But, hey, look, I'm not making excuses for Blake. It was a bad day, again, because we've seen this before from Blake, healthy or not. But you got to wonder, the shoulder, which he fell on diving for the first down, which was a great play by him. You wonder if it did impact his accuracy. But he's been missing guys high this season anyway. So it's really hard to tell how much it was injury-related and how much it was just Blake.
We're going to go inside the Jags locker room momentarily. Gus Bradley will have the first word with the Jaguars head coach. Jeff Loggeman is there right now with Gus Bradley. Jeff?
All right. Thank you, JP. Gus, great job by your defense in today's ball game, but offensively, you guys just weren't able to get it done against arguably one of the best units in the league, the Denver Broncos defense.
Well, we knew going in the game it was going to be two strong defensive performances, and we needed to move the ball, and when we had opportunities, we needed to cash in. We did once. We didn't enough. We had some turnovers, and, offensively, against a good team like this, you had to take care of the ball. But defensively, we didn't get any. Special teams, we didn't get any turnovers for our offense as well. So it's all three phases have to take responsibility.
And your offense, the pick six by Blake Bortles, did you get a chance to see that on the replay? It looked like he had a guy that was right there in front.
Yeah, you know what? Looked like it was tipped, or you know, they just made a good play on that. And we've got to make good decisions. And when you really want to press and you want to make things happen for your team, but we just, like I said, it goes all across the board. Got to protect. Got to make good decisions. And plays like that can happen. I liked how we bounced back. We just didn't have enough.
After that pick six, the defense had five possessions before the offense got it back again, where they turned the ball over again. But on those five possessions, the Denver Broncos only gained 34, 35 yards, and your defense forced five punts.
Well, and that's what we're talking about. That's what we needed, to get a lot of opportunities for our offense. I think the time of possession, I haven't seen it, but I'm sure it went in our favor. But again, the defense, we just challenged them. We have a high standard, and it's about getting takeaways and giving more opportunities for our offense. And, I look at the stats, and those are all good things that we can point on and lean on. But it was a total team effort. We didn't get it done today against a good team.
Thank you, Gus.
Okay, thank you.
Gus Bradley, just outside of the Jaguars locker room. We'll come back and have our first visit with Fred Taylor of the afternoon. The final score, 20-10. The Broncos are now 8-4. The Jags fall to 2-10 in the loss. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio.
My name is Kelly Mullaney, and I'm a mother of five boys who all play high school sports. As a parent, I worry about them getting injured. Thanks to Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, I don't worry as much because they are at my son's school every day. Their certified athletic trainers are always looking out for the kids and helping to prevent injuries. If something happens, they are right there to provide immediate medical care, working as a team with the JOI doctors. Knowing that my kids get the same type of care as the Jaguars makes me rest a little easier at night.
Attention athletes, I'm Mindy Black, dietitian for the Jacksonville Jaguars, with a tip on how to take your game to the next level. Make Zach Snacks a part of your game plan. Omega-3s are essential for optimal brain function and recovery. If you need to increase your awareness and focus during practice and games, then you need Zach Snacks. It's a tasty way to get your omega-3s. Research tested and approved, Zach Snacks are an official snack of the Jacksonville Jaguars. So snack the way the pros snack. Find us at myzachsnacks.com.
Hey, Jaguars fans, you ready to score free McDonald's favorites this season? Just download and register on the McDonald's app. Cheer on our Jaguars, win free food. The Jaguars' final score wins you a McDonald's favorite. 10 points gets a free Mac Jr. burger, 20 points a free Big Mac, and 30 points a free Grand Mac burger. It's good to be a Jaguars fan. Valid December 4th through January 1st. McDonald's app download and registration required. Valid only at participating McDonald's in the Northeast Florida, Gainesville, Southeast Georgia areas. No purchase required.
This is Tim S. Marshall, president of Copytronics, a Konica Minolta company. Konica Minolta is an innovatively powerful worldwide company, leaders in super technology that can help your company grow. Konica offers powerful software solutions, exceptional IT services, and award-winning digital copier systems. Konica is ranked as one of the best companies.
A little bit what we expected. Really two good showings by two defensive units. I thought, give credit to them. They made plays, made more plays as far as turnovers than us. I thought our defense came out and played well. We talked in the locker room about a total team effort, though. They got three turnovers. On the defensive side, we didn't get any. And it's about possessions, opportunities for your offense. We had a couple drives where we were driving when the interception took place. But, hard-fought defensive battle. They made more plays for us, and the turnovers were a big key.
Defensively, did you do everything well today except force a turnover?
Yeah, I thought so. They had a couple explosive runs in there, but I don't know. I think, the big thing for us going into the game was time of possession. We really wanted to take care of the time of possession. We felt like we needed to run the ball. Even though we had Chris Ivory out and TJ with his situation, we felt like we needed to really stick to that game plan. And would we have 155 yards rushing, something like that? So, that part came just like what we had planned. Just some of the turnovers, I think, were big key plays.
How difficult is it for you to process, injury impaired as you were today, but this offense cannot do enough to get you to win?
Yeah, I know. 155 yards rushing, that's a very talented defensive front. And I don't know if they had a sack, maybe at the very end. Other than that, there was no sacks in the game. So you're seeing the running the ball. You're seeing the protection part of it. We just didn't make enough big plays, and then we gave the ball up.
On that last turnover, did it look like Blake was trying to spike it?
I don't know. It just felt like he was trying to make something happen while he's in the pocket. And that's why I say, it got condensed on him, and he was trying to make something happen at that time.
Gus, the game basically went as you had kind of hoped it would, minus the turnovers. I mean, you wanted to win time of possession. Your defense held them, I think, at one point I saw 1 of 11 on third downs, and yet you can't – the turnovers just kill you.
Yeah, I know. it's tough, man. It's tough. That part's tough. You know, because they play their tails off, man. They play their tails off. And when you get interceptions and you do that, and it's easy to throw that all on Blake because he's – and, you know, I think we all understand that. But, you know, the pocket gets condensed and you're sitting there, you're trying to make plays for your team. And, you know, sometimes things like that happen. But, you know, it's a talented team. We just need to figure that part out. And what I'm hoping is through all this pain – that we're going through as far as adversity, that what's worthy of it comes in the end. You know, and when that happens, I don't know if it's next week or in 2 weeks, but I think this team is really trying to gain as much strength from this as they can for future times.
How much did you change your defensive game plan when they announced the rookie was starting at quarterback?
You know what? We thought that it'd be similar as far as the scheme, but they're different. They're different guys as far as arm strength and, you know, mobility and things like that. So there was some subtle things that we talked about.
What was the key? They only had one third down conversion. What was the key in being so good on that defensively today?
Well, I thought we did a good job mixing up. You saw us that we kind of had different packages today. And, you know, we had a bandit package. We had a nickel package. We had, you know, so we changed it up some. And I just thought the guys played really good coverage. Todd Wash, those guys, the coaches, they did a good job mixing it up. It still comes down to players executing. Thought the players executed very well.
As you mentioned the turnovers, but two big, huge 15-yard penalties also cost you guys. Telvin's, the face mask, yeah. On 3rd and 6, and then the Alex's out of bounds,
right.
On the punt return.
Yeah.
I mean, those are just things you keep doing, but you –
Well, you know what, the Telvin one, that's hard, man. He hit the quarterback's hand and deflected and hit the, you know, I think those. That's a pretty aggressive penalty. I mean, we don't want it. I'm not saying it's good, but we end up getting off the field, I think, on that one. The penalty on the sideline, the one with Alex, I think, on the punt, that was close. We didn't feel like his foot stepped on the white. His body was, but his foot wasn't. And it's one of those where the player's got to make a decision what to do. And, you know, that's one that we'd probably ask and get interpretation on. You know, what do we do in that situation? Not to give him an excuse, you got to make good decisions. And then the A-Rob one, too, you know, upset on that one. You know, that's – I can't believe I'm bringing a own one up that would attack me. But don't forget that one, too.
Go ahead. About 5.5 minutes left, it's 3rd and 10, you guys run a draw play. And then on the next possession, it's 3rd and 8, and you run a short pass. Why not be more aggressive on those third down calls late in the fourth quarter?
Well, I think the situations, we've gotten where yards, if they're thinking passing, depending on the look, sometimes we have some run pass options. In that situation, I can't argue the fact that you try to throw it to the sticks. You know, we're doing better on third down. I don't know what we were this week. But, you know, sometimes the ball is thrown underneath and guys are making plays. But, yeah, when you look back at it, you know, we'd like to, you know, get to the sticks. But, again, protection, it was a big part of it. You know, be able to hold up against their rush was an important aspect of the game.
Follow up on that. How you guys think you did against Miller?
Well, you know, does he affect the game? Yeah. I mean, when we're keeping extra guys in, we're turning our protection towards them. Sometimes we're throwing underneath the sticks. We didn't give up any sacks, but, you know, he had an impact on the game.
Justin, are you aware at all that Blake's shoulder is impeding him from throwing the ball the way he'd like to at this point?
I think, you know what, a lot of our guys right now, like typical, they're sore and they're banged up a little bit. He's probably no different.
But you don't think it's enough where he's not saying that the medical staff doesn't know it?
And not to where it's affecting him, where, you know, he can't. Yeah, no. But I know he's dealing with some issue, some soreness.
You mentioned the run game with Gabe Corey some carries, Shane Whitten some carries. What would you like about what they were able to do?
I think to change it up. I mean, really, to get 152 yards rushing, you know, we knew that we'd have to spread these carries out. We didn't really know how much we'd have TJ. We really went in the game thinking we'd have him for third down. You know, so hopefully we didn't set him back at all. Hopefully he continues to get better. We need those guys. And, you know, so we knew we spread it out amongst those guys. And, you know, a lot of times when they get opportunities, they step up. So we'll take a look at it.
And Ngakoue, was that an aggravation of his previous ankle injury?
From last week.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it was the same one. I'm not sure.
Last one, Mary. You know obviously how great the Denver's defense is. But, I mean, when you think back to this game, when you plays that you had, plays that you could have run, I mean, was there a chance to be a little more aggressive against them, or was it just take what they gave you?
Like on down and distance, third downs, you mean? Okay. Well, in third down, yeah. I mean, I thought we took our shots now, you know, back shoulder fades, you know, we were takeoffs, but the way they played it, we ended up turning into back shoulder. You know, on third down, I'll take a look at it and see how many were actually underneath the sticks. But I mean, they had good pressure. They had good pressure. So, you know, guys got to catch the ball and make plays, but, you know, we knew it was going to be this kind of a game, I guess, is, you know, I thought really what they've done in the past is in the second half, they score a lot of points. That's generally what they did. They did against Kansas City last week. So coming out of the locker room, that was a big emphasis for us. And I thought the defense really, I mean, they had a pick six. I believe it was the only points they scored in the second half on the defense. You know, so, that they, you know, give credit to our defense. They did a nice job.
Seven straight losses. A lot of them have been like this. How important is it to sort of stay on message with these guys the rest of the season for you?
We're going to stay on message. I mean, but you got to still challenge them. I mean, but they want that. I mean, we challenge a lot. We challenge our guys a lot this week. I mean, in all areas. This is a really good team coming into our house. And their defense, I mean, the offensive line, there's a huge challenge put on their plate. Defensively, about the impact of the game. And, hey, we got to be great on third down. We got to stop the run. It's a big challenge for us across the board. And in many ways, they rose to it. Not enough to get the win, but you know, I know the question was asked, do you think they'll come back next week? Well, they came. I felt like they came back this week. Do you think they'll come back next week? Yes, I do. That's who they are. They'll work their tails off, and they'll come back, and they're going to learn from this. And I truly believe these things that this team is going through will only benefit them, will only benefit them. Okay? Thank you.
X1 from Xfinity will change the way you experience sports with the X1 Sports app. You can track stats and scores on your TV while watching another game live. Xfinity, the future of awesome. Final score, 20-10. Broncos are still alive in the playoff hunt. They needed a win to keep pace.
You know, and then just kind of got careless with the ball, and it got away.
It seemed like the receivers were having a tough time winning on the outside today. Anything you can do as far as throwing them open and getting them better opportunities?
Yeah. I mean, you got to give them credit. That's a good group. I mean, they're defending Super Bowl champions for a reason and have a good defense. They got a good front, and they got guys, you know, at every level they can play, especially corners. You know, so we knew it was going to be a tough task. And, you know, you got to win. They got to win. I got to throw it better, and we got to make plays. You know, that's really all it comes down to. We didn't do enough of that.
Like, hard to believe Khalid didn't get flagged on that last play there, A-Rob?
Yeah, it's tough, but and I mean, it's not like you can expect anything else playing here. So you got to make a better throw, make a better play, you know, catch the ball. You can't leave it in the hands of the ref, you know, on a fourth down to, you know, try and get a PI. So I got to throw better, and he's got to catch it.
Kind of been par for the course for him all year.
Yeah, you know, I think A-Rod, and, you know, I know it's frustrating for him because, you know, he's been getting kind of hammered with guys all draped all over him and a lack of calls. So I know it's got to be frustrating for him, especially as competitive as he is and as, you know, as badly as he wants to make a play and make a difference. It's tough. But, you know, like you said, you got to, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't know what to tell A-Rob. You know, he's going to play as hard as he possibly can on every single play. He's always done that. Sometimes you get the call, sometimes you don't. You can't worry about that. You got to just try and make the play.
On the pick six, was your motion at all affected by getting hit?
No, I don't think so. You know, I think Roby made a good play. It wasn't a great throw. You know, I have to look at it again. It's probably behind him. But, you know, it's kind of what we want. I got man coverage and A-Rob running across the field, you know, with a guy behind him. So just got to put it in front of him and let him run.
Then the 22-yard touchdown run, at what point did you think you could make it to the end zone instead of sliding?
Yeah, they had guys, you know, in man coverage trailing, so kind of took off expecting to slide, and nobody was really there. So I figured might as well try and score.
Like, how difficult was it for you to just fathom that this season, the way it's gone, that the offense has not been able to do more of its part?
Yeah, it's been tough, you know, but I think – You know, something that is cool about it is you get, you know, 16 opportunities, you know. So we got four more chances. Obviously, the first 12 didn't go the way we wanted to by any means, personally or as an offense or as a team. You know, I think everybody knows that and understands it. But, I mean, you got four more chances, and then you get a bunch of time off. So let's go try and, you know, play as well as we possibly can for four games and see what happens.
So in no way does this feel like a nightmare in any way for you?
Yeah. Oh, it's the biggest nightmare possible. But, I mean, what are you going to do about it? You can't sit there in a corner and pout. You can't, you know, blame people. You can't feel sorry for yourself because I think all that's going to do is affect the way I play. You can't press because, you know, I think I was doing some of that early in the season, and that didn't go well. So I don't think, you know, you got to stay true to what we do and what we believe in and go through the process. And, you know, for me, it's obviously still trying to take care of the ball. You know, but I think all you can do is put your head down and continue to play as hard as you can and prepare each week.
Did the shoulder hurt at all after the scramble?
Yeah, I mean, just landed on it and, you know, nicked it up for a little bit. But, you know, good thing there was a challenge, got a little break, and it was fine.
Thanks, appreciate it.
And it showed, it paid off. But, you know, that's the brightest spot for me on the team. And I'd like to see them continue to build on that. The young guys played better. I saw Fowler make some plays. It didn't show up in the stat book. In the stat column, but he was playing above just the X's and O's, you know, peeling off, running with the backs, doing things that didn't allow the other team's quarterback to make a play on those third downs. So these guys are starting to understand and get it, and I like to see more of that to finish the season off. Offense, just got to keep putting guys in there, plugging away until you find something. Blake has to play better. Has to be more accurate.
No doubt about that. That's where it starts on the offensive side. We'll come back with the Bud Light play of the game, the highlights as well. We'll have an Everbank stats check coming up a little later. Final score, 20-10. Broncos win it over the Jaguars in Week 13. And this is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars radio.
Jaguars owner Shad Khan on creating the best customer experience.
Game day is special, and when the Jags take the field, we want every fan to have the best game day possible. That's why we partnered with Daly's. They even have three locations in the stadium. They know what makes for a great customer experience. From the kickoff kit program to the way they treat our fans at the game, it's like they say, it's nicer here. I can't think of a better game day partner. I also happen to like the coffee.
To experience what Shad's talking about, visit a Daly's at Everbank Field or any of our 26 Jacksonville locations.
My name is Kelly Mullaney, and I'm a mother of five boys who all play high school sports. As a parent, I worry about them getting injured. Thanks to Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, I don't worry as much because they are at my son's school every day. Their certified athletic trainers are always looking out for the kids and helping to prevent injuries. If something happens, they are right there to provide immediate medical care, working as a team with the JOI doctors. Knowing that my kids get the same type of care as the Jaguars makes me rest a little easier at night.
Hi folks, Frank Frangie here for the best barbecue in town, that's Bono's. And now it's the official barbecue of the Jacksonville Jaguars. All season long, you can get Bono's barbecue at six different locations in Everbank Field. You also get Bono's barbecue at 15 locations all around town with fast, friendly service, clean family restaurants, and that great, great taste of Bono's barbecue. If you want great barbecue, you want Bono's. And remember this, if there ain't a pit, it ain't legit. That's Bono's.
Jaguars fans, Republic Services is now hiring CDL drivers in Duval and St. John's counties. With Republic Services, new drivers receive a $1,500 sign-on bonus and competitive benefits. Over 50% of managers in Northeast Florida started their careers as drivers. You can build your career too. Join the Republic Services team and make a positive impact on your community and the environment today. Visit republicservices.jobs for more information and to apply. Republic Services is a proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Wear the star. Drive your career.
Football is back. And if you love fantasy sports, there's only one place you want to play. FanDuel. FanDuel packs a full season of excitement into just 1 week. So what are you waiting for? Have all the fantasy that football has to offer. FanDuel. Be sports rich. Try FanDuel now. New users who deposit will get five free entries to 50-50 NFL beginner contest. One per week for 5 weeks. Just go to FanDuel.com and use the code SUNNY. That's FanDuel.com, code SUNNY. Void where prohibited.
You know, the giant insurance companies basically have one strategy, to wear you down. They try to intimidate you with their teams of lawyers and endless resources. but we have our own team of lawyers and all the resources we need to go the distance. They're not going to wear us down. We'll keep fighting for justice. Something to think about when you're up against a giant. Farrah and Farrah, protecting you and your family. Call us at 396-5555, Jacksonville.
Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Beard's Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. The Broncos win 20-10, the final over the Jaguars. Denver now 8-4. The Jags fall to 2-10. Let's listen to the highlights, including the Bud Light play of the game. And we start out with the Jaguars early. They got an early lead. Well, not an early lead, a second quarter lead. The first quarter was scoreless with six punts. Not much going on. Jason Myers had a 47-yard field goal. That made it 3-0 Jaguars. The ensuing drive, though, the Jags defense looked like they got off the field on third down. It was an incomplete pass, but Telvin Smith called for roughing. The quarterback went to the head of Paxton Lynch. The drive stayed alive. There were a couple of long runs on that drive as well, but Devontae Booker cashed in from 6 yards out.
Second and goal from the six. The game was four. They give it to Booker again. Booker tries to spin away, does spin away from the tackle of Telvin Smith, and he's going to pull defenders into the end zone for the touchdown. Telvin had him outside the goal line. He spun, pulled away from it, and then pulled defenders into the end zone. It's going to go as a 6-yard touchdown run for the Denver Broncos.
Made it 7-3 Denver at that point. Jaguars on offense. Tipped ball, back shoulder throw to Allen Robinson was intercepted by Chris Harris, but the Broncos couldn't do anything with it. They went 3-and-out their ensuing drive. The Broncos hit a field goal right before halftime, 32-yarder from McManus, long punt return and a late hit out of bounds, moved them into position to get an easy field goal, 32-yarder, 10-3 the halftime score. The Broncos had the lead. The Jags go 3-and-out to open the second half, as do the Broncos. And then the ninth play of a drive that was starting to form for the Jaguars, a ball that Blake Bortles shouldn't have thrown, and it cost him dearly.
Two right, one left. Third and four now from the 49. Shotgun for Bortles. He drops the throw. They blitz. He looks. He fires. That ball's picked off. To the 45, to the 40, 35, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. That's going to be a pick six. Denver is going to score a touchdown. Bradley Roby, the former Ohio State Buckeye, runs it in for the Denver Broncos.
51-yard interception return for a touchdown, the 11th pick six in Blake Bortles' career. That made it 17-3, turned the game upside down. A couple of drives later, though, the Jags stayed alive in this game. The defense stiffened up and gave the Jags offense some opportunities. This on a fourth down play, Blake Bortles using his legs for a score.
Fourth down and five from the 22-yard line of Denver. 17-3, Broncos lead it, 14-10 left in the ballgame. Bunch left, shotgun. Bortles dropping to throw. He's going to scramble out of there. He's going to run for it. He's going to have it to the 15, to the 10, to the 5. Blake Bortles into the end zone. Touchdown. A 22-yard touchdown run. And the Jags are in the end zone.
17-10. The Jags within a score. And I'm sure over the next few segments, we'll go through some of the play calling situations over the next few drives. There was a turnover on downs. A 3rd-and-10 handoff. The Jags had to punt it away, but each time the Jags defense got the Broncos off the field. Jags had an opportunity late. This last turnover cost the Jaguars the ballgame.
Two left, one right, dropping the throw is Blake. Blake looks. The ball comes out. I think he threw it. The ball came out. The ball is out, and I think they're going to call it a fumble. I thought his arm was moving forward, but they're going to say fumble.
His
Denver ball.
It was Denver ball. It was knocked out when an offensive lineman hit the football, knocked it out before his arm came forward. It set up a 41-yard field goal for McManus. That made it 20-10. The Bortles touchdown run is the Bud Light play of the game, brought to you by Bud Light, who reminds fans to stay in the game and drink responsibly. We'll come back with an Everbank stats check. More with Fred Taylor, Mike Dempsey as well. 20-10, the final score. The Broncos are now 8-4. The Jags fall to 2-10. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Hey, Jags fans. Coach Gus Bradley here. Nothing quite matches the excitement of leading our team onto Everbank Field. And now game day can start with you through the Everbank on the Prowl sweepstakes.
For each Jags home game, one lucky fan will win tickets, pregame sideline access, and the opportunity to lead our team as they take the field. To enter and for official rules, go to everbank.com/brawl. That's everbank.com/brawl and enter today. No purchase necessary. Everbank is an equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
It's game day, which means some fans are packing up the car 4 hours early, while others wait until just before kickoff. Some fans are wearing their brand new jerseys, while others are wearing the same jersey they've worn since 03, because it's tradition, and why shouldn't they? NFL fans root for their teams differently, but they drink the same beer, Bud Light, the only beer that loves football as much as you do. Bud Light, raise one to right now. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, AB St. Louis, Missouri.
When you're opening a new office location, but deadlines don't let up, you need to make sure your team can start working fast, which means all of a sudden, you're looking to buy new conference tables, chairs, laptops, and whiteboards quickly. Business cards from American Express Open can give you buying power to help cover the big purchases you need to make when you need to make them. Find out how American Express cards and services can help prepare you for growth at open.com. When your medical practice is growing fast and you have more patients than you have room for, you need to start, well, making some room, which means all of a sudden, you're looking to buy new exam tables and stools, x-ray machines, and microscopes quickly. Business cards from American Express Open can give you buying power to help cover the big purchases you need to make when you need to make them. Find out how American Express cards and services can help prepare you for growth at open.com.
Productions has everything you need to bring your next event to life. If you want people to come together, you want PRI. Visit PRIProductions.com to learn more. 20-10, the Broncos win it at Everbank Field in Week 13. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor, and it's time now for our Everbank final stats check. We start off with the team stats, and we've rolled through a few of these already. First down, the Jaguars dominated a lot of categories today. First downs, 19-10 in favor of Jacksonville. Third down conversions, 1-for-13, Denver. 6-of-18 third down conversions for the Jaguars offensively. Net yardage total, 333 for the Jags to 206 for Denver. On the ground, 154 rushing for the Jags, 104 for the Broncos. Passing, 179-102. Penalties, there were some key penalties in this game for the Jags, 6-for-65 yards total, 4-for-32 yards for Denver. A lot of punts, 19 combined punts in the game between these two teams today. Three turnovers, the big key, and time of possession, as Gus alluded to in his interview earlier, they led the way there, 34 minutes and change for the Jaguars today. But the turnovers, and getting off the field on third down, great for the defense, the total net yardage, but the turnovers, 3-to-none, it's now, I believe, minus 18 for the season turnover ratio for this Jaguars team, and that's a big reason why this team is 2-10.
Yeah, Blake Bortles had those three turnovers today with the two interceptions and the fumble. He was 19-of-42 for 181 yards, only averaged 4.3 yards per attempt on the, not getting the job done. There, I told you a couple of picks and his QB rating just under 38 on the day. You contrast that with Paxton Lynch. 12-of-24 for 104 yards. Very similar to Blake last week, with the exception that he didn't throw any touchdowns against the Jaguars defense, but he didn't turn it over either. Capri Bibbs led the way on the ground for the Broncos with 5-for-49. Devontae Booker, 10-for-35 with a touchdown. For the Jags, TJ Yeldon went 14 carries, probably a little bit more than they were hoping to give it to him today, for 55 yards, just under 4 yards a pop. Denard Robinson, 17 carries for 53 yards, just over 3.1. Blake Bortles ran it twice, including a 22-yard touchdown run, 29 yards on the day. Neil Sterling, your leading receiver for the Jags today. 5 grabs for 43 yards. Marquise Lee had 3-for-34. Brian Walters, 3-for-31. That's the same total for Allen Robinson on the day. Demaryius Thomas caught 6-for-61. Emmanuel Sanders, 3-for-28 for the Denver Broncos. Defensively for the Jags, Telvin Smith, 6 solo tackles led the way. That was equaled by Paul Posluszny. And Telvin got credited with a sack as well. So your tackle leaders on defense on in a day where the Jags had the ball a ton, there weren't just that many tackles to be had with all the three and outs that they forced with the Denver defense today.
You mentioned Allen Robinson, 3 catches, 31 yards. That's on 10 targets today. Not an ideal setup.
Finally,
did
see a flag, though, right? We saw the PI
finally
on him. I don't know if I really agreed. The one, Fred, where Aqib Talib, he kind of had his hand around him.
It should have been called.
You think so? Because yeah. I didn't think he yanked him, but regardless, you can't take your helmet off and give 15 yards up to the Denver Broncos.
That's true. He was outside of 5 yards initially, and Aqib was grabbing him before he even threw the ball. He let him go, then he re-engaged.
Yeah, well, so I'm probably looking at when he re-engaged, because right at the end it didn't look like he was
right. He should have gotten the call. And the refs, they have to understand that this kid's been fighting the whole year.
Yep.
He's a big body. They haven't been calling it. So that automatically should alert the refs, hey, this kid is getting beat up. So he should get more PI calls than he's getting. It's just bad officiating. I can say it. They won't say it much.
I hear you.
But he has to be a cooler head there and not get the 15-yard unsportsmanlike in a critical situation considering how well your defense was playing.
And yet the defense held him there too. You know, right. I mean, again, a bad situation to put him in, but they were able to force the punt. But still, at that time, field position pretty critical as well.
Right.
Ground game today, what, 150-something yards, 154 yards on the ground today, 55 for Yeldon, 53 for D-Rob, no Chris Ivory, you knew that going in today, and they didn't really use Yeldon until a little bit into the ball game today. Overall, what did you think of the run game?
I thought they ran the ball well. I mean, they came out with 4.1 a carry. Can't ask for anything more than that. Denard, again, as I said, he was one cut downhill. He was getting a tough 3-4 yards a carry. They ran well. They didn't hurt the team. Again, the penalties, I think that hurt the team more than anything on 3rd and 6, the Telvin penalty.
Yep.
That extended that drive. And then a late hit out of bounds on a punt return that put the ball at midfield. And they took 7 from Telvin's penalty and 3 from that penalty. The offense, they could play better. The run game was there, what we've been searching for. But, again, the turnovers, can't have those. Can't have those.
Can't have them at all. We'll come back and vote for a Jaguars Radio Network Player of the Game today. The final score, 20-10. The Broncos win it in Week 13 over the Jaguars. This is Jaguars Post Game on Jaguars Radio.
Man, I can't land this trick. The sun keeps getting in my eyes.
Here, you gotta try these Modison sunglasses. They're made for recycled skateboards.
I've never seen anything like these.
No two are alike, and Modison has a bunch of different styles available, each with its own use and abuse graphics.
Whoa, light, comfy, and these lenses are amazing.
Yeah, they come with those sweet flex hinges and polarized lenses that keep the glare out of your eyes, and you can't blame falling on the sun.
Right on. I'm definitely getting a pair of these.
Check out their full collection at Modison.com.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's. Freaky fast. Freaky fresh.
Jimmy John's, America's number one sandwich delivery, fast head speaking. I'm on my way.
In the backyard here, Ed.
Wow, you are fast.
Yes, sir, freaky fast and freaky good, but I gotta say, I've never delivered to a dude in a doghouse.
Well, I'm definitely in the doghouse.
I thought in the doghouse was just an expression, a figure of speech.
Well, the doghouse is a very real place.
How long are you condemned to your canine quarters?
Too soon to tell, but on the bright side.
The doghouse has a bright side.
Yeah, the wife can't throw a lap this far.
I guess she's been working out.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's. Freaky fast. Freaky fresh.
Bowden Eye is the only center of excellence for cataract and refractive procedures in North Florida, specializing in laser cataract surgery. Why trust your vision to anyone else? Bowden Eye and Associates, keeping the First Coast focused with 4 locations in Jacksonville. Dry eye syndrome is very common with today's lifestyles and is many times misdiagnosed. A LipoFlow treatment can change your life in 12 minutes. Visit Bowden Eye and Associates, keeping the First Coast focused with 4 locations in Jacksonville.
Brooks Rehabilitation provides a system of care to help people achieve their highest level of recovery. Brooks offers inpatient rehabilitation, skilled nursing, outpatient therapy, home health care, assisted living and memory care, research and community programs. No matter the setting, Brooks provides individualized care from expert clinicians and are committed to exceptional service. For more information, visit brooksrehab.org. That's brooksrehab.org.
Jaguars postgame rolls along after the loss in Week 13 for the Jags. 20-10 the final score. Broncos now 8-4. The Jags fall to 2-10 with their 7th consecutive loss. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. It's time now to choose a Jaguars Radio Network Player of the Game today. And offensively, it's going to be tough to find. Defensively, you could go a number of different ways here, guys, because the defense overall played pretty well, but no takeaways. So there's nobody really to skew the results there. So that said, the voting, I'll get a vote. Mike, you get a vote. Fred gets a vote and a half because he's Fred. So who wants to start this week? I am not going to start this
week. No, I'll go.
Go ahead.
I got one. I'll go with Neil Sterling.
Okay.
Before somebody else grabs him. And you know what? It's fine if you do. But six targets. He caught five of them. Almost caught the sixth one spectacularly with one hand for 43 yards. It wasn't much, but you know, he made the most of his opportunities out there today on a day when he led the Jags in receiving. Nobody else had more than three catches on the day. As good as the defense played collectively, I didn't think there was one particular player that merited nomination above everybody else. So I'll go with Neil Sterling.
Okay, Neil Sterling is in. Fred, go ahead.
I'm going to just hop on Mike's bandwagon. Woo-hoo! Here. I mean, I don't have a choice. I think before we came back out of break, I was talking about Neil was one of the guys I should have added on the guys that I would like to see in the remaining 4 weeks. Again, he's out there. I think he's dynamic after he catches the ball. He's not the greatest blocker, but he gets in the way. You can do enough to get in the way. No one on defense jumped out, warrants a vote. So, Neil, he has my vote.
Let's make it unanimous then. Neil Sterling, the tight end, former wide receiver, converted to tight end, is the Jaguars Radio Network player of the game today. Sterling in his second year out of Monmouth, a seventh-round pick for the Jags in 2015 today. What a day. Good day for him. Six targets, five catches, 43 yards for the Jags in the loss to the Denver Broncos. We'll come back with the injury report. Unfortunately, a few other guys nicked up for the Jags today, an already banged-up football team. We'll break it down when we return. 20-10, Broncos win it over the Jaguars in Week 13. And this is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio.
My name is Kelly Mullaney, and I'm a mother of five boys who all play high school sports. As a parent, I worry about them getting injured. Thanks to Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, I don't worry as much because they are at my son's school every day. Their certified athletic trainers are always looking out for the kids and helping to prevent injuries. If something happens, they are right there to provide immediate medical care, working as a team with the JOI doctors. Knowing that my kids get the same type of care as the Jaguars makes me rest a little easier at night.
When we take on a truck accident case at Farah and Farah, we can download the truck's black box data before it disappears. This data tells us if the truck was speeding, as well as the braking speed, the throttle, and even which lane the truck was in when it crashed. This is all evidence needed to reconstruct the accident. These cases are extremely complex, so call our experienced truck accident lawyers at 396-5555. Farah and Farah, protecting you and your family. Jacksonville.
Following the Jaguars' non-stop to away games this season, on-airport parking at Jacksonville International will cut the stress out of your travel experience. JAX Garage facilities offer covered parking and a short walk to the terminal. Economy parking is only $5 per day with free shuttle service to and from the airport. To learn more about Jacksonville International parking options, visit flyjacks.com. That's flyjacks.com. Want to give your friends and family the best gift this holiday season? Enter to win the Jags Giving Sweepstakes, presented by Den. One lucky fan will host three guests at the Jaguars-Titans game on Christmas Eve. Your crew will win a VIP experience, including reserved parking, an autographed Jaguars jersey, and pregame field passes. Add on a $250 gift card from Publix, and you're all set for the ultimate tailgate. Enter online by December 4th at jaguars.com/jagsgiving. Catch the spirit of giving this holiday season with the Jaguars.
Hi, folks. Frank Frangie here for the best barbecue in town. That's Bono's. And now it's the official barbecue of the Jacksonville Jaguars. All season long, you can get Bono's barbecue at six different locations in Everbank Field. You also get Bono's barbecue at 15 locations all around town with fast, friendly service, clean family restaurants, and that great, great taste of Bono's barbecue. If you want great barbecue, you want Bono's, and remember this, if there ain't a pit, it ain't legit. That's Bono's.
Amazing Black Friday offers are here during the Ford year-end event. Get $1,000 Black Friday bonus cash on top of all other great offers. Or check out special year-end lease deals across the entire lineup of Ford cars, trucks, and SUVs. Save big on Ford, America's best-selling brand.
Not available on Mustang Shelby GT350, F-150 Raptor, Focus RS, Ford GT. Taking retail delivery from dealer stock by 11/30/2016. Sales claim based on 2015 calendar year sales.
Jaguars postgame continues. 20-10 the final. Broncos win it over the Jags in week 13. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. Time to get into the injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. And a lot of names popped up today. Let's start, though, with Blake Bortles with the dive for a first down. Great play to get for that first down, but he fell on that right shoulder. You could tell right after that it was a little bit of an issue for him. And even on, like, the fourth down touchdown run, yeah, he used his legs and got there, but I don't know how willing he really was to throw the ball much after that point in the game. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it was tough to tell because, you know, he's been dealing with this anyway, and he certainly aggravated it at that point in time. And, you know, Fred, I'm not going to make an excuse for Blake because we've seen him miss high a lot this year prior to getting hurt. But I do wonder, you know, if the injury, it has to impact his accuracy a little bit. Again, I'm not, you know, whitewashing what went down today. It's just, for me, it's impossible to evaluate how much was due to the shoulder, how much was just due to this as the continuation of the kind of season that Blake's been having.
Now, I agree with you on that, Mike. For me, if I were the coach, understanding that my quarterback is injured, they're running the ball fairly well and playing great defense. You got a very good punter. Why put him in those situations? I think that's all I should say about that.
Other injuries today, Denard Robinson at one point left with an ankle injury, Marquise Lee with a left hand or wrist type of injury, and Ngakoue with that same ankle that he left the game with last week was out at one point. Even Neil Sterling, who we talked about, was kind of nursing a hip. Dan Scuda, an elbow injury, was questionable to return. Peyton Thompson, an ankle injury. Linder Early missed some plays.
Right.
Opening drive, and then came back into the ball game as well. And then you throw in the guys that weren't in there today. A hamstring injury for a running back, Fred, as you know, is not an ideal setup for Chris Ivory. And obviously we don't know how bad it is. It was bad enough not to go today.
Right. The hamstrings, I think that's the most tricky injury in all of sports. One day it can feel great, and coach, I'm ready to go. You can even get out there and run 10 plays. That 11th play, it can strain or pop it again. As soon as you exert a certain amount of torque and energy and push, they can just go. A lot of times, they can press up on the nerves where the strains are. And for me, that was always the case with my hamstring that I was going in and out of the lineup with. So they can be tricky, but the one thing you have to do is just be patient and try and let it heal. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of time in the season remaining. But
yeah, four games left.
Smart. He still has to be smart, though.
No doubt. I mean, he's signed around here for a while. It's not like he's going anywhere, right? Chris Ivory. I mean, has he done enough to? What has he proven to you this year, Fred? When he's been out there,
I'm a fan of Chris. When he's out there, he's running hard, running downhill, dragging some defenders. Have I seen enough to warrant, you know, why he was brought in as a free agent and getting the contract that he got? In all fairness to the team, I can say I haven't seen enough. But in all fairness to Chris, he hasn't been out there, and I understand that more than anyone. Part of me wants to say, well, you give him another opportunity, you know, because he is a good runner. He's a starter in this NFL.
Yeah, Pro Bowler.
Right, yeah. And the other part of me wants to say, you know, you can bring in three guys that are cheaper and do it by committee and put that money somewhere else. But I don't make those decisions.
Now, I'm with Fred. I mean, look, I think Chris Ivory is an effective runner. We started to see him, when healthy, start to come on a little bit. But that's the problem, when healthy, right? And it hasn't been a case of very much health and much availability for Chris Ivory this
style.
Year.
His running style, he's going to, you know, endure those things. So, but like I said, they're going to make the right decisions in the front office.
Hope so.
That is. Well, we do hope so. I like Dave. I think he's made some good decisions, brought some good players in here. He's got to find a way to take it from we're great on paper, which led to great expectations this year, to we can't win a game. But, again, the turnovers, you don't factor those in when you're drafting and when you're saying how good we are on paper and when you're going through training camp practices. It only matters on Sunday between those lines for 60 minutes. So if you can't control that, you're going to lose a lot of games.
It's disappointing that Blake Bortles has not cut down the turnovers this year, but it's surprising to me that the defense hasn't created more, because the pass rush has been there at times. And you got a play like today, Fred, you got Tashaun Gibson, who is a known playmaker on defense, and he has got to be pressing a ball. As you mentioned earlier, Ramsey tips that thing up. You got three defensive backs in the area, including Ramsey, and a ball goes right to Tashaun Gibson. And who knows, because there's really no other Denver Broncos around. If Demaryius Thomas doesn't make the tackle, he may be running it back 30, 40 yards, maybe more the other way. And it just seems like the Jags – just, I don't know what it is. They're not getting their hands on the ball enough. They're not winning enough with the 50-50 balls. Whatever it is, they're not getting enough consistent pressure. They're just not creating them.
Yeah, they're not anywhere near where the ball bounces. And the good thing is they're not completely out of character, meaning, as you said, pressing. You know, guys can become selfish when they feel, hey, it's my opportunity to take a shot. You know, I haven't got a turnover yet. I got to take a shot. Then you create a worse situation. But they haven't really done that, which is a credit to them. You know, they're still firing off and playing steady, man. They've been steady. It hasn't been pretty. Definitely not last week with the big plays or even Detroit. But other than those two games, really, hadn't been any real big plays against them. You know, I think that what's put them in bad situations is the offense. You know, relinquishing field position, turning the ball over. The defense now has to go to change pace, change of possession. And that hurts the defense. It tires you out and wears you down. But with the new bodies in there, the fact that they aren't giving up a lot of points. You know, the scoreboard might show something, but the offense is giving up a lot of those points.
That's right.
And sometimes even special teams. So, I mean, I like that defense. I like it. And those young guys that are out there, they're only going to be better next year because their sense of awareness is going to expand. And they're going to feel a lot more confident in their abilities, what they can do. Now they can get out there and make some of those plays. I've seen it happen. I've been on that side of the fence before, so hopefully it'll come to fruition next year for those guys, and they'll be one of the top 10 defenses again. But you guys got to have the offense to follow.
There's certainly a bright future ahead for that group. But the question is, on the other side, how far away is this offense from being as effective?
I thought, this year was going to be the year.
I think everybody thought
that. When I saw them sign Ivory and when you add it to the offensive line there, I really thought that it was going to be a chance to make a move. With those receivers that we have, you know, that really hadn't done the same thing they did in their first two years.
No.
You know, I don't know how long it's going to be because I thought this year was that year. So always back to the drawing board. Let's see, you know, what gaps you need to fill in. Offensive line, yes. You know, do you go tight end again and take some money off the table?
I think they might go with the young guys, go with the Sterling-Koyak combo, honestly.
I think you get creative.
I don't see Julius Thomas back here. I don't make those calls, I find it hard to believe for the level of production. What does he have, like 30 catches on the year, JP? I think it's 30 for right around 300 yards. For what you're paying him. I'm not saying it's all Julius's fault. It's just the circumstance. Right. And you're going to have Allen Robinson coming up for a contract extension. You're going to have Marquise Lee coming up for a contract extension. And you're going to want to keep those guys around as your young core draft picks. I don't think you can pay three receivers and the tight end kind of top of the market money and keep that thing on the right side of the salary cap.
Right, I agree. There's some good tight ends out there, you know, regardless of what happens here. Again, we don't make those decisions, but there are some good tight ends out there, and if I had to look at the offense and say, what can I shave off, you know, to create more space, I mean, that would be the first choice. But again, just speculating. I don't want to stir up anything. So
we don't. Yeah, you know, we could say it till we're blue in the face. Again, we don't make that call. You know what? Dave Caldwell is gonna, or whomever is gonna make that decision down the stretch.
Yeah, and a lot of questions around number five, too, and his performance coming up down the stretch as well. We'll come back, discuss that a little more, and preview next week's game against the Minnesota Vikings. The Jimmy Smith game. He'll be inducted into the pride of the
Jaguars. Smooth, Jace,
smooth. Well, it's all coming back.
Ready for that.
This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.
The kick is up. It's good!
It's time for Field Goals for Firehouse Subs.
You could score a free Firehouse sub when you register at jaguars.com/firehousesubs. If the Jags kick a field goal of 40 yards or more, we'll send you a coupon for a free medium sub with purchase of a sub, chips, and a medium drink. Visit jaguars.com/firehousesubs for complete details. It's field goals for Firehouse. Field goals have never been this tasty. Firehouse subs.
Jaguars fans, are you ready to up your checking game? Game on. The Jaguars Visa debit card, available exclusively at EverBank, is yours free when you open an EverBank Yield Pledge checking account. With your Jaguars Visa debit card, you'll get unlimited ATM reimbursements nationwide when you maintain a minimum average daily balance of $5,000. It's your money. Make the most of it. Visit a financial center near you or find us online at everbank.com/jagscard. The official bank of the Jacksonville Jaguars, EverBank, member FDIC.
When you're opening a new office location, but deadlines don't let up, you need to make sure your team can start working fast, which means all of a sudden, you're looking to buy new conference tables, chairs, laptops, and whiteboards quickly. Business cards from American Express Open can give you buying power to help cover the big purchases you need to make when you need to make them. Find out how American Express cards and services can help prepare you for growth at open.com. When your business is construction and you get a big job that has to be done in record time, you need to get the ball rolling, which means all of a sudden, you're looking to buy enough sheetrock and lumber, steel, and other materials quickly. Business cards from American Express Open can give you buying power to help cover the big purchases you need to make when you need to make them. Find out how American Express cards and services can help prepare you for growth at open.com.
Jaguars postgame continues, 20-10 the final. Broncos, a winner over the Jags in Week 13. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. Final segment, if you're listening on our flagship station. The scoreboard show is next, including your calls. I know, Fred, you want to stick around for that, don't you? No, maybe not. That's okay.
Can I take one call?
They'd love to talk to you.
They would.
You're welcome to stick around every week.
We'll discuss that coming up. Before we went to break, we mentioned the defense playing well. There's something going there. You got to find something on offense. But, guys, it comes down to number five. He's playing through a shoulder thing. That's pretty obvious now, especially when he went diving for that first down today. And the effectiveness statistically is what it is. It wasn't there today. 181 yards, two interceptions, 11 pick sixes for the career. He's got four games left in this season. You've got to determine as an organization whether you want to give him a fifth year before next season starts. So in that regard, these four games are critical to define whether he's the guy around here, really. Do you feel the same way, Fred?
You know, I get this all the time. My friends, they ask me how good, you know, is Blake Bortles. And I'm a fan of Blake. I mean, I saw some great things. I saw potential last year. You know, his rookie year was his rookie year. So we say, he's making rookie mistakes.
Yeah.
Then last year he's shown that, man, I can really get out there and throw the ball. But I never thought to think of a lot of those plays were when they were down and teams were playing prevent defense. So it's a lot easier. His stats were high. This year, he definitely went backwards. Is he that guy to answer the question? I'd be willing to at least wait on next year and see.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the right thing to do. He's, you know, he's been through, what is it, a two coordinator with this third coordinator so far?
Yeah, it's his third coordinator.
And I think that with Hackett, with Nate there, some pick six has been in there, but I think that he's settled down just a little bit. It was more all over the place with previous OCs, but I think they're trying to just manage him a little bit. If I was his OC, can I say that?
Yeah, go ahead. Offensive coordinator, Fred Taylor.
Fred Taylor. I'm in my offensive OC mindset. I mean, I just think he's a big body. I get him on the edge a little bit more. I would just continuously – every single day, just check down. Like, we got a great defense. He has to understand that. You have a defense that's in the top five, six statistically, and you got to understand that. And some of those plays you got to hold on to. Just take a sack, man, punt it, and live to play another day. I mean, until he gets that in his head, he's going to continue to struggle. So
jury's out still, it sounds like.
I think it's out big time. I really do. And I think it depends on what the coaching staff looks like heading into the offseason. I mean, because I think we've talked about this, guys, over the last few weeks. If you had league average quarterback play right now, you might have a 500 football team. And a 500 football team in the AFC South is a challenger for the division title. And, you know, so can you go into next year potentially letting Blake, you know, seeing, let's hope it turns around, right? And that's what it would be right now, would be hope. I don't question the guy's toughness. He's super tough. The guy is clearly injured, and he's playing through it. But I do question his effectiveness, and it's been that way all season long, pre-injury as well. So I think there's a lot to be determined about the quarterback position still in Jacksonville.
We talk about Blake, and you say he's not the top of it. He's not even in the top half of the league.
He's been bad this year for most of the year.
But when you look at it, what else is out there? Who else is out there?
Well,
backups, starters that might be on a team that organization potentially might not want to pay a guy. I don't see any candidates out there.
I don't know. It's too early to know who's going to be available in free agency. You know, there's some name. I'm not trying to necessarily replace a guy. I just think that I'm not going to – if I'm the coach in this situation, I'm not going to believe that – I'm not going to count on it's going to turn around. I'm going to create some competition this offseason wherever I can, Fred. I'm not saying it's a great market out there or, you know, what kind of draft pick you might invest or whether you give Brandon Allen a chance to show what he's got in the offseason. I want to create – real competition for Blake Bortles and see how he responds to it.
I think I know a way you can, well, on top of that, just go and make a cut up of all of the junk plays, all of the bad plays. Every pick six since he's been in the league, you know, just pull up a plays where he's thrown interceptions if they're not, just look at this.
Right.
This is what you cannot do. You know, in the heat of the moment, this is what you cannot do.
Right.
Take a sack. You know, if you feel that this is going to develop into something bad, just take a sack because you invested a lot in defense. So, I mean, you have to learn that. If you don't turn the ball over, you're playing great offense and great defense at the same time. But I think situationally, he hadn't been great situationally, knowing down and distance, the time that's left on the clock, the time in the game that it is. You just – everything that he does just seems like, oh, man, the timing is just bad for this to happen right now. You know, so he just has to be better at managing the game. That's my opinion.
We'll have a chance again next week. The Minnesota Vikings comes down. A lot happening, starting with the legends of wrestling. They'll be here. Hacksaw Jim Duggan, the Nasty Boys, and Ric Flair will be here for a free game party. Jaguars.com/wrestling for tickets. Also, the Pride of the Jaguars induction for Jimmy Smith, Jay Smooth, is going on the wall next week, and I know, Fred, you're pumped.
I'm excited for Jimmy. I mean, he's waited on this. I mean, he deserves it. He's been patient. The fans have been, you know, waiting on it. Hopefully I don't shed a tear.
Oh, you will.
It's all right if you do.
I mean...
That's your guy, man.
But someone might make a meme of me. I might be all over the internet.
That's true. So crying Freddy.
Be careful. So, but no, I'm excited for Jimmy. A long time he's waited for this. Definitely more than deserving of it. There's going to be a lot of guys in town. I think they said over 60 guys are coming back for it.
Wow.
So that's big. And Jimmy means a lot to a lot of guys. So, I mean, he helped my career. Because if I didn't get, you know, a lot of those cover twos to try and double Jimmy – I don't get as many yards as I got in my career, and that's honest. So I'm excited. Can't wait.
We'll look forward to that next week. Fred, well done. We'll
Thank
see you,
ya. Boss.
Fred Taylor. Mike Dempsey.
See you, Fred.
For everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick. The Senior VP of Communications is Dan Edwards. Manager of Radio, Joe Fortunato. Tony Smith and Linda Fortunato, producers. If you're listening on our flagship station, stick around. The Scoreboard Show is coming up next. The final score, Broncos 20, Jaguars 10 on the Jaguars Radio Network.